Well, for our scripture reading this afternoon, let's again look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. We'll read the whole chapter, and the text will be the phrase in verse 3, that they may be called trees of righteousness, God's people, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Hear the word of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us, his precious, inspired, infallible word. Beloved congregation, trees, do you like them? Who doesn't, really? How many trees there are, too? And how many different kinds? And isn't the Niagara region here filled with so many trees? And soon enough, the escarpment will look very beautiful, to many colors from the leaves preparing in autumn for winter. Trees, oh, again I say, what a beautiful part of nature they are. But why now am I talking about trees, you might ask? Well, it's our text that leads me to speak about trees. That's legitimate, right? It's amazing, really, how often the scriptures make mention of trees, from the first chapters of the Bible to the last chapters, and all throughout, and also much in the gospel accounts. And you know what our text for this afternoon is about? Our text in the second half of Isaiah 61, verse 3, it proclaims to us that the Lord desires his people to be like trees. Yes, trees of righteousness. You, me, trees of righteousness? That's the theme for this Thanksgiving sermon, now also following the Lord's Supper celebration. You and me, trees of righteousness. What a comparison. What a calling. What a comfort. That's the sermon in a nutshell. Let me expand. We saw from our text this morning how the Lord would come to his people and provide for them. To those who mourn in Zion, the Lord comes with his salvation to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And now, our text goes on to explain further to what end or for what purpose the Lord comes with his saving grace and mercy upon his people. It's that we, you and I, may be called and may be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Can we not say, as the Lord favors us with so many gospel blessings and privileges, also with word and sacrament here today, he has this goal in mind, also for us here, who confess to trust and follow him. Yes, that we might be trees of righteousness to his praise and glory. You, me, trees of righteousness. Why, though, this comparison of God's people to trees? This comparison of God's people to trees is something you can find more often in the Bible. Think, for instance, in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, where we read, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." And Psalm 1, which we sang from Psalter 2, gives that same comparison. You know, the psalmist speaks there of the righteous man who delights in God's law. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And then what about Psalm 92, verse 12, where the scripture says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." And this week I read in Proverbs 11, "But the righteous will flourish like foliage." And in the same chapter in verse 30, God's word declares, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." You see, again and again, there is this comparison made to trees. The Lord would have his people be as trees. He blesses his people that they might be called trees of righteousness. Now, again, I ask, why trees? What can we learn from this comparison or this metaphor to trees? Well, to answer that question, perhaps it's helpful if we just reflect a bit on some characteristics of trees. See if you can agree with me about the following characteristics about trees. Trees, for one thing, represent strength and stability. Did you know that trees are the largest living things on earth and the oldest, too? Not even the huge blue whales are as big and mammoth as some trees. In California, there are redwood trees that grow up to a height of over 350 feet. And there are giant sequoia trees which have trunks so thick that 15 people stretching their arms can hardly put themselves around that trunk. And on the western coastline of North America, did you know, there are trees that are calculated to go way back to about 4,500 years ago. Now, of course, that's not true of all trees. In Calgary, we have so-called poplar trees, and they go 60, maybe 100 years. They grow big, but then they crash down, or they need to be cut down because they become dangerous with branches breaking all the time. Most trees don't become tremendously big and so very ancient. Yet the fact remains, trees are both actually the largest living things and the oldest. Trees thus represent for us strength. And in many cases, in general, you can say they are a symbol of stability and being rooted and grounded, remaining standing and steadfast no matter what. Here, just think of the big old trees in parks and in cities. And don't forget about that huge old tree, perhaps, in your own backyard. And just consider how these trees have withstood many storms. Yes, season after season, year after year, trees, they represent strength, stability. And even when hardly noticing trees, perhaps this is what people would say about them. Isn't it true when thinking of trees? Also, we will say, won't we, there's something so beneficial in many fruitful ways, too. I mean, think here of how trees contribute to keeping the atmosphere pure and healthy. It's been a long time since I've been in grade school, but I still remember with wonder the time we learned about that big word, photosynthesis, how the trees take our carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide, and then they give us oxygen, the leaves of the trees. And it's a beautiful thing to discover that whole process which God has designed as the creator of heaven and earth. Trees, we can say they contribute so much in keeping the atmosphere pure and healthy for us. So trees are very beneficial in this regard. And we say, don't we, make sure you plant trees time and again. If you cut trees down, plant another one. That's right. Furthermore, think of how much the trees supply us in many ways in our daily life. The trees on earth supply us for us articles which are most useful in areas such as food and housing and clothing and medicine and transportation. In the book of Revelation, very strikingly, both in chapter 7 and 9, when the Lord speaks about the unleashing of his judgments upon the earth, at first he instructs not to hurt the trees, suggesting by itself something of their tremendous value for us and to us. As I was writing this sermon, I thought if I would just ask the young people here in church to mention just one thing which is a product or byproduct of the trees, couldn't we easily come up with 100 items at least, with hardly thinking about it? Just consider all the items for house construction and with our furniture, our paper, our books, and the fruits we enjoy, and the baseball bats, and the hockey sticks, and the crates, and the coffins, and pallets, and paddles, and apple pies, and plums, and pears, boats, handles for tools, pencils, pencil crayons, your new binders at school, and that delicious maple syrup, and countless plastic items, and bark mulch, and firewood, and your coffee, and your tea, and that orange juice, and that apple juice, and on we could go. All these things, and yes, thousands more items come from the trees, big and small. All to say, surely trees represent that not only which is strong and stable and beneficial and useful and fruitful. That's what trees do represent. And can we not say also, dear congregation, and I refer to that in the introduction to this sermon already, trees represent beauty. Scripture speaks of the beauty of the trees, and many poems from people have articulated the same. Everyone who has an eye to enjoy the charm of the country will readily admit that trees are objects of great variety and splendid beauty and color. I can't imagine anyone among us here never having commented on some tree or trees as being just so gorgeous. Well now, reflecting on just some of these God-given characteristics of trees, their strength and stability, their usefulness and their productivity and their beauty, doesn't it make sense then why here in our text, Isaiah 61 verse 3, the Lord says that he intends for his people to be like trees, yes, so-called trees of righteousness? Are trees strong and stable? Even so, the Lord will have his people be and become strong and stable, established in his righteousness and in the way of righteousness. We've moved from comparison to calling now. Doesn't the Savior call his people to stand tall and firm and in the way of truth and grace and in faithfulness and in service to him, even when passing through the fiercest temptations and severest of trials, to be steadfast in his grace and truth still? There are many texts in the Bible exhorting God's people to be strong in the Lord and to endure unto the end, even in the fiercest of temptations. And God rightly expects and demands of you and me, especially as confessing Christians who also fellowship with him in holy communion at the Lord's Supper, that we be strong and stable and steadfast in his ways as trees in the way of righteousness. That is, as those who are growing and persevering and enduring in the way of grace and truth and holiness. And isn't this what you desire too, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord? after being reassured through Lord's Supper also of the riches of the gospel in and through Christ Jesus and his sure promise time and again of giving beauty for ashes. The Lord will have his people be called trees of righteousness. And that means he would have us to be strong, steadfast, enduring, permanent, firmly established in his ways. Is this what is characteristic of you too, by God's grace? And of me? In Ephesians 4:14, the apostle urges the believers in Ephesus that we, and he includes himself, that we, he says, should no longer be like children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But rather, as he exhorts also in Colossians 2, that we be as believers rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. May also this Sunday, with the preaching and sacraments, so bless us, making us, you and me, as trees of righteousness in word and deed. Then again, the Lord having his people to be called trees of righteousness means that the Lord would have his people live useful and productive lives, fruitful lives, in the way of righteousness. God would have his people living truly and increasingly in the way of holiness and obedience to his commandments. The Lord, he comes to you and me with his grace that we might serve him first of all and most of all. And as trees contribute positively to the natural air around us, God's people as trees of righteousness ought to contribute positively to the moral atmosphere of the day. Do you do that? In other words, as covenant people and confessing believers, you and I are not to add to the moral corruption and the sinful atmosphere of our dead times, but rather by God's grace, we are to be humble, faithful examples in the way of godliness and true Christianity in all aspects of life, 7 days a week, by day and by night. Is that you and me? In and with our lives, we are called to live in hearty, holy, and happy obedience to all God's commandments, seeking always God's honor and glory in all things and the real and eternal well-being of our neighbor as we live daily our lives. We are called so to live not ever to earn salvation, but in grateful thankfulness to God for his salvation in and through Christ Jesus, the Savior. If you and I are true and growing Christians, don't we want always to take this calling most seriously and to be such like trees of righteousness indeed? You know, reading church history, even to the present day, how many of God's people in the past were really both stable and fruitful, productive trees of righteousness in their times, in their generation. Now, all different sized trees, to be sure, and many different kinds, yet trees of righteousness, nevertheless. God in our text, dear congregation, he compares his people to trees of righteousness, telling us thereby he would have his people live productive, fruitful lives in the way of righteousness in whatever position or place you and I might have or be in society. Whatever our talents, whatever our gifts, whatever our callings, are you and I like trees of righteousness at home, at school, at work, at church, and in our communities, and in our whole wide world? Then too, don't you think God would have his people to be like trees and to be called trees of righteousness, that similar to trees, we might show forth Christ's beauty and be attractive to others, having God's favor and beauty upon us and in us, radiating from us? When God's people receive from the abundance of Christ and his salvation. Beauty for ashes, yes, time and time again, for Jesus' sake alone, then that ought to show, and it will show, in the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. The fruit of the Spirit, you know, that Paul tells us about in Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, in the sense of faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. And when this fruit is evident in our lives, and increasingly so, oh, I tell you, it makes you attractive and beautiful. Then your presence brings happiness and love and peace to others as you so glorify God and live to His praise. In Psalm 149, verse 4, we are told the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. And dear congregation, the fact is, when you and I live out of Christ's salvation, and in constant dependency on the Savior, and in fellowship with Him and His Word, then we do become truly and more beautiful people, even when we ourselves may not be aware of it. God's people living as trees of righteousness contribute positively to society and shine as lights in this dark, fallen world. The Lord will give unto them that mourn in Zion, beauty for ashes, we saw this morning. And why will the Lord come with His gracious, rich salvation? So that you and I might go to heaven? That's all? That's great. But no, that we might also here and now seek and serve the Lord with all our heart. And that we will live lives to His glory and to His honor in promotion of His precious gospel cause. Indeed, isn't it that we might be trees of righteousness for as long as we live, till God calls us home, and that we might live as people who are strong and stable in the Lord's ways, fruitful and productive in the ways of righteousness to God's praise and for our neighbor's good. It is that we might be beautiful people, adorned with God's grace and salvation in all our ways and responsibilities and conversations and conduct. You, me, trees of righteousness? Is that what you are by God's grace? Does this comparison to trees now make some more sense to you, perhaps? Oh, I think we may thank the Lord for the many trees of righteousness planted in your congregation here. But isn't it true that also in this congregation, there may be some, one or more, who don't care at all to be like a tree of righteousness in your life? It may be that for you it's the furthest thing from your mind and heart even. Could it be you would rather just go wild, so to speak, and grow up in your own ways and in the ways of sin and in the way of this world and in your own opinion and in the way of unrighteousness? That's our natural way. Was this not a problem with the Old Testament covenant community often as well? While the Lord granted them so many gospel privileges and blessings that they might become and be called trees of righteousness, strong and stable, productive and fruitful and beautiful in His ways, yet they turned their backs on Him and they lived only for themselves in this world. So in Isaiah 5, for example, the Lord compares His people who are unfaithful and unbelieving to a vineyard. A vineyard for which He did everything that needed to be done for that vineyard to bear rich and abundant fruit. But when He looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And then we read in that passage that the Lord asks, What could have been done more to my vineyard than that I have done? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Beloved, if we do not become trees of righteousness, being recipients of so many gospel blessings and privileges as we also are here, isn't that a great shame then? Isn't it sin and rebellion, even against the Lord our God, the one who created you, the one who takes care of you, the one who gives you life? For everyone to whom much is given, let's realize, from him much will be required. That's what Jesus says. In Luke 12:48, And doesn't Jesus say too in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Or if you know in your heart and life, anyone here, that you are not really as a tree of righteousness before God and people in all of your life, doesn't that give you reason for repentance before him? Should it not lead you and me to call upon God for his grace and mercy and saving, sanctifying power in our life, yours and mine? No sincere confessing believer can be content to be anything less than trees, strong, stable, productive, fruitful, beautiful trees of righteousness to God's praise. That's what God works by his Spirit in his people who look to him. So if it's well with us, especially also when we have participated in the celebration of the Holy Supper, won't it also be our heart's desire, yours and mine, our resolve to be as trees of righteousness? Yes, at home, at work, at school, and in the community we live. Isn't this then what we long for? Also, not just for ourselves, but also for our children and grandchildren. By their fruit you shall know them, said Jesus. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Matthew 7. Pretty somber word. We're either, take this to heart, we're either trees of righteousness or we're wood for the fires of hell. Which will you be? Which will I be? But more, now the question may come, at least when you are really listening, how can we truly be and become as trees of righteousness and keep growing as such more and more till our last day? And here, can we not say, yes, may we not say, there is surely a wonderful gospel answer to that question. And again, it's in our text chapter. We become and grow up to be trees of righteousness, not by ourselves, only as we rely upon the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ and God blessing us in and through him. Trees of righteousness, what does the text say? They're a result of the planting of the Lord and his blessing the seed of the gospel by his word and spirit in our hearts and lives. Trees of righteousness, wherever you see one, it's his doing. It's his doing. And as a tree in its growth is dependent on the soil wherein it is rooted and on the water it draws through its roots and on the sunshine from the sky, even so shall we, beloved, you and I, be true trees of righteousness, really and increasingly. That means, as Paul puts it in Colossians 2, you and I, we need to be rooted and built up in Christ. We need to be constantly drawn to him and drawing from him and the waters of salvation from him and the sunshine of his love from him and his Spirit as he guides and leads us through his finished work on sinners' behalf. The righteous man of Psalm 1, we read that his delight was in the law of the Lord, and that means in the whole word of God, and especially that word of God about the Messiah. And he meditated day and night in that law of the Lord and time and again. And so he became as a goodly tree planted by the waters, a tree of righteousness in word and deed to God's praise. To put it another way, we need Christ's righteousness by grace through faith imputed to us in justification and imparted to us in sanctification. Shall we be, in fact, and grow up as trees of righteousness to God's glory? And even so, again, listen to what Jesus says in John 15. There he says, only as we abide in Christ and his word can we bear fruits of righteousness, pleasing to God and beneficial to others and ourselves. He says in that passage, without me, you can do nothing. It's good to learn that. It's painful. But the more you learn it, the better. If it helps you flee to Christ, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without that, dear congregation, always it is hopeless altogether. Clearly, we can never become or grow up to be trees of righteousness in our own strength. And praise be to the God of heaven and earth, the God of the Bible. The blessed gospel tidings are the Lord never asks for us that from us either. What he calls for, he gives. Trees of righteousness are on account of his planting and his mercy and his blessing us all, always in and through Jesus Christ alone. This is the good tidings about our God and the Christian faith. It's the best of the best. It's the only true gospel in this world of sin and misery. In and through Jesus Christ, by grace through faith in him, we can be delivered from our unrighteousnesses, and we can be declared righteous before God in truth and made righteous really and justly, and become indeed also as trees of righteousness. And just think here again how Christ, the perfectly righteous one, was hung by cruel crucifixion on a cursed tree, that as the just for the unjust, he might pay for all our unrighteousness and truly save and sanctify people like us and make us into trees of righteousness to the praise of the glory of God triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What a gospel of amazing grace and saving power. Jesus hung on those two wooden beams on the cross of Golgotha. And that's the secret for salvation and for becoming trees of righteousness, ever looking to him. This gospel has once again been shown and sealed to us also with the Lord's Supper, hasn't it, today? Do you see it too now as our holy calling by God's grace, ever and again, to look to this Christ and to love and cherish him, the Son of Righteousness, who rose as the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, with healing in his wings and with the waters of salvation for whoever would trust and follow him, through whom alone you and I may become and grow up as trees of righteousness indeed. Yes, even you and even me. How encouraging in this regard is what we read in Isaiah 41. You and I may think, how can I ever become as a tree of righteousness? But listen to what God says. With God, nothing is impossible. And hear what he says in Isaiah 41, verse 19 to 21. There we read God saying through his prophet, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, the Holy One of Israel has created this. Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. In other words, you see, to tie this sermon in with this morning's, you know how we and our children and others will become as trees of righteousness? You know how? It's only as again and again you and I come to the Lord in repentance and faith with our ashes, asking him to give us beauty for ashes. As we look to him and as we feed on him and draw from him, led by his word and spirit, and abide in him, having him graciously and continuously exchange our ashes with his beauty, then you and I become and truly grow up to be trees of righteousness, strong, stable, fruitful, productive, and beautiful in the ways of the Lord. When you and I, by grace, may thus grow up as trees of righteousness, the more and more we shed all our unrighteousnesses, and we humbly and heartily give praise to God, and we glorify him for all his everlasting righteousnesses and his salvation mercy and his boundless grace. Don't we see this also in Isaiah 61? For following verse 3, in verse 4 to 6 especially, we are told how God's people of old would wondrously work and live in the way of righteousness. Notice that in the chapter. So the Lord says, just quoting verse 4, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations, etc. You see, being made as trees of righteousness, it is clear they would truly be like trees, trees of righteousness, strong, stable, fruitful, and productive, beautiful, profitable, and attractive in the ways and service of the Lord. And don't we know this is the case with all God's true people throughout the ages? True Christians are those who seek to live by God's grace and Spirit to God's glory. That's what characterizes a true Christian. And they are often of great blessing and benefit to others. Yes, as trees of righteousness at home, at work, in the church and community and the broader world. And what is the result of that? I mean, what do God's true people say then, living as trees of righteousness? Do they say, look at me, look what a strong tree I am? No, they don't boast about themselves, for they know something of who they are in themselves. Rather, they boast in the Lord, saying with the saints of all ages, something as expressed also in verse 10 and 11 of our text chapter, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. The Lord will take care of it. Do you hear how God's people here have been given to live as trees of righteousness, and they give all the honor and glory to the Lord? When you and I become and may be, by God's grace, trees of righteousness and be called trees of righteousness, that's always the Lord's doing, as triune covenant-keeping God. And to him be all the praise and the glory from beginning to end. You, me, trees of righteousness. That's what God would have us people be. And all that's needed for us to become it, we receive from him, grace for grace. The call of God's word then, and the call too of the sacraments, is ever and again, congregation, look to Jesus. Call upon him, the Savior of sinners, and live always in humble, hearty dependence upon him, the Son and source and strength of everlasting righteousness. Yes, again and again, bring your ashes to him, that he may exchange his beauty for your ashes. So also you too, however old or young you may be, whatever your character and talents, you too may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So looking to Jesus, will you be a tree of righteousness to his praise? Oh, may Niagara region be famous, not just for its manifold fruit trees and its beautiful escarpment trees, but especially for its many trees of righteousness. Yes, also in Vineland, FRC, bearing all kinds of precious fruits of praise, indeed, to the glory of God triune. In Jesus' name, the tree of life. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for word and sacrament today, for ministering to us your gospel way. What a good shepherd you are. You care for your sheep, and you feed your sheep week by week. Lord, may the sheep here be as trees of righteousness. And Lord, let none in this flock refuse to be a tree of righteousness, refuse to come to you in repentance and faith. Lord, let none here be as wood for the fires of hell, but may we all begin to be trees of righteousness here, and what will it be in heaven to be trees of righteousness in a perfect way with our God in the new world. How wonderful that will be. What an atmosphere. What heaven will be. We cannot tell, but we know it's beyond us in describing how wonderful it will be. Lord, may our Sabbaths now be a foretaste of the heavenly Sabbath, and may we all be partakers of that too, by your grace and spirit, also in this congregation. Lord, hear our prayer. Forgive all that which was sinful. Even in our most holy activities, we know we are not without sin, but look upon us in Christ, the perfect sinless one, the tree of life, who was cut down that we might become trees of righteousness. Bless us for good, for his name's sake, and go with us now as we continue life's journey. Lord, bless this congregation. Bless traveling mercies as people come and go. Lord, watch over us all and lead us all in the way everlasting. And we pray it in Jesus' name alone. Amen.